my purpose for being on reality TV and being in this spot is to make people laugh. When I was at university, lost my brother's best friend, Hamish. That was what pivoted me into reality TV because I was like, damn, I just want to make people laugh. Like, clearly my friends aren't happy and I can't ask everyone every single day, are you okay? But I can make everyone laugh. Yay.
Some of this liquid sunshine.
Holy Christ. What is that? That's is that a piece of gum?
Yeah.
Oh my, it looks like a brain. It's so big.
I put two pieces in every time. People who don't put two pieces of gum in, I don't understand.
That's not two pieces.
Yes, it is.
That's seven.
No.
This is seven and a half.
I don't get when people rip their piece of gum in half. I'm like, what are you, do you even taste the mint?
My dad always made me split our gum in half before we try. Yeah. He was like, here, you can have half, I'll have the other half. And I'm not talking about extra pieces. I'm talking about Orbit.
No.
Or wait, what do they call?
Yeah, Orbit.
Orbit gum. And it's like this big. And I'm like, oh, that was really good for 20 seconds.
For me, it's like I have one piece for a little bit. And then I'm like, oh, I need more. Then I have two pieces. Almost like my coffee in the morning. Like every day, I swear it gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And then next thing you know, I'm literally like melting coffee ice cream for my coffee.
You do like a little sweet coffee. You really do.
You know you I do. Yeah, Sid saw my piece of gum just laying on my phone, if you're wondering.
I was like, what is that?
I didn't want to chew it during the episode, but I might save it for later.
It's huge. I'm like, I'll give you two pieces of gum if you get rid of that thing.
Sometimes, this is like, I can't believe I'm going to share this, but sometimes if I'm really, I don't know, maybe anxious and I know I have a garbage near me, I'll like take, oh no, I can't.
What do you like, mean? Now you got to say it.
I'll like play with it in my hands like silly putty and then I'll throw it away. I won't put it back in my mouth, but like, I know I'm going to throw it away. So I'll like play with it for a little bit in my hands and roll it up.
I know people that have like, that's like gum is like their most disgusting thing. Like they gag if they see it. That would literally make them pass out.
Oh my God. Yeah.
So them seeing you touch your gum.
Sorry guys. Trigger warning. I don't do it often, but like I used to do it more. I've grown up a little bit. I'm more mature.
So mature. So mature. I think you're probably here not for the gum talk, but you're probably here for Harry Jowsey.
Hi guys.
So, and I get it. And I get it. We'll get you to Harry Jowsey. But let me just say, this episode we thought was going to go one direction and it went a whole nother direction.
Oh my God.
And it was the best like way we could have gone and taken the direction of the podcast. Like truly.
It was cool because we were like, okay, we should talk about like fuckboy turned into, you know, a man who like created this business out of being on reality TV. And yet we kind of let Harry kind of take the combo where he wanted. And it was cool to see like this other side of Harry Jowsey. And I'm used to seeing like too hot to handle Harry Jowsey and reality TV and his podcast and his OnlyFans content. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm looking, but like his like Instagram, a lot of shirtless pics. Okay, you guys, I'm not looking.
Sorry.
But before we even get into it, this was like the number one guest that I was so nervous for.
Yeah.
I woke up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. No, but I woke up in the morning and Sid, do you remember like how anxious I was?
Oh
like,
my God.
I don't know what was going on. Like I could not.
You couldn't calm down. You were like tweaking. You're like, I don't know if I should have a coffee because I'm all jazzed up. But you're like, but if I go off my routine, then what if I'm a little off for the episode? I don't know what to do. You were jazzed up. I'll use the word jazzed up.
And this is what we also like to call self-sabotage. It was like the one day where I really wanted to be on. And it was also the one day where I was extremely off, at least for this episode. You guys won't even hear it, I guarantee.
I was going to say, they won't notice.
No, you guys won't notice. But like, it's also kind of very real and relatable that like oh my gosh, there's a cat.
Scotty joined us.
There's a cat on our studio desk. I just like, usually I'm just like, say what I want when I want, but I like was so nervous. And at one point during the interview, I was like, I couldn't make eye contact. Like that's how nervous I was. I was like looking up at the ceiling while I was asking him a question. And he kept turning around, like looking at what looking at.
Oh my God. I saw that he did.
And he's like, what are you looking at? I'm like, oh, nothing. But it's just like so relatable that you guys like, you feel me. So I wanted to share that with you guys too, because it was kind of funny.
It was hilarious. She did such a good job, but I get it. She was nervous. That's okay. But Harry did. It was cool to just see the other side of Harry because we saw his interviews and we were like, okay, what does he like to talk about really? And we guessed based on the interviews that he's done. What we found out was right when he got on the pod, he's like, yeah, actually that's really not me. I want to talk about this and the other thing. And we're like, okay,
do it.
Let it happen. Like we let it flow. We took the reins off. We let him take it where he wanted to go. He talked about mindfulness and why he does what he does and psychedelics and all these different things. Like just listen, because you'll learn a ton about who Harry Jowsey is. Jerry Jowsey.
Jerry Jowsey.
Jerry Howsey. and I'm excited for you to listen. So
let's bring him on.
All right, here we go.
Let's go. I want to hear more about this ayahuasca trip.
Right now. Oh, hello,
he goes, Harry. Hi. Okay. No. We'll get it. We'll get in there. We'll get in there.
Oh, I was like, yeah. Usually like, hey, guys, welcome back.
Hi, Harry.
Hi, like, Harry.
Yeah, what are you?
Like, we like that. Okay, I got to tell you something funny because we were telling people we were coming out here. We're coming to see Morgan. And we were saying like, oh, yeah, Harry's coming on our podcast, like whatever. And we not only... Word, you kept saying it too. She's like, yeah, Harry Styles is coming on. I'm like, no. And she goes, oh, Harry Jowsey. I'm like, I'm sorry. And people literally.
It's an easy mistake. All the time.
We said it like 25 times. And I'm like,
no. We look the same type of talent and skill level.
Exact same
like,
singing.
Same level same of looks. Like success. I get it. It happens. It's okay.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was kind of joking when I said Harry Styles, now it's like a thing. So I'm like, Harry Styles
okay,
is coming out.
Actually, my was it you guys that followed my backup Instagram page?
Yes.
Oh, what?
Okay. Cause I was
like, I'm like, yes, I
was like, oh fuck. Is this like a podcast that my ex is doing or something? They're trying to get tea on me. And I'm like, oh
what?
No.
Did you accept it?
Yeah, of course. Okay, I was like, talk about me.
No, we're not trying to dig with you.
No. I didn't know. And I was like, oh fuck. And then I checked my calendar. It was you guys.
I didn't know that was a backup account. I thought it was like an OnlyFans sneak peek.
No,
what is a backup account?
I wanted to post because on my Snapchat I post like stuff about like mental health and like spirituality and all this stuff because I can't really do that on my main because people are just like, Harry, shut up. Like, where's the show? Those photos. So then I was like, oh, if I do it on there, I could do like motivating stuff. And then it just still like didn't happen. So I'm like, okay, I should just post nudes.
Wait, but. Wait, you talk about mental health and spirituality on this backup account because people don't...
Or on Snapchat.
Like, or where are you talking about it?
Yeah, more on Snapchat because it's like something that's like so near and dear to me. Like I've lost 3 people to suicide.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, there was a reason why I got in this industry and everything like that is just to make people like giggle. Giggle? So I was like, oh, okay. Like that's what I want to talk about. I don't really want to talk about sex and dating and... Or eating pussy and stuff all the time. Like it's fun, but like I want to talk about stuff that actually matters to me.
Yeah.
That stuff matters, but this stuff matters a little bit more. So I was like, oh, how do I get it? Like have a platform that talks about that. And that was where I started doing it on Snapchat. And I did really well. People like enjoy it. I was like, oh, what if I bring this over to Instagram? People don't want it there.
I'm gonna have to follow the Snapchat because I want to learn more about this. But what is your spirituality? Like, what do you believe in?
Oh God.
Tell us a little bit more about that.
Okay. So my parents didn't raise us religious. Like they just said, you guys can figure it out when you're 18, which is kind of like, okay.
Sure. I kind of love that though.
Yeah. It's like, well, what do we believe in? They're like, I don't know. You have to figure
it
out.
At school. They're like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, it was a big issue at school. Mm-hmm. We got kicked out of schools when I was a kid because they wanted us to sing like Christian something, like songs around Christmas. And my family was like, hey, no, they don't do that because they're not Christian. And I was like fucking 3. So I was like, I don't know. Whatever. It was headlined in the news. The Prime Minister of Australia wrote an email to my dad, which is like our president, wrote an email to our dad. It was that much of a big deal when we were kids that the news companies and stuff came to our house, started doxing us. And then people were sent with every Christmas send us hundreds of Christmas cards. And it wasn't like offensive, but like the stuff they were saying, like they were going to murder my mom and like stuff just because I was a kid. And I was like, hey, I don't know if I want to like sing these like Christmas songs because I'm not religious. And my parents were just like, yeah, we don't want you to like have any influence from any angle. We just want you to figure it out. Mm. So it was like it was a huge thing. We ran away to Bali for like two weeks. And the craziest shit was when we were flying back home, we were on the plane with A Current Affair. I'm not sure if you guys have them over here.
I don't know.
It's like a late night, like 60 minutes like type news show.
Yes.
Okay.
They were on the plane beside us. And they're like, my dad was like, oh shit, I'm a fan. Like, I love like whatever else. And the guy's like, yeah, we're coming to interview you guys.
Wait, so you guys were on the plane on the way to the same place because they were coming for you guys.
Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. They didn't have anything like booked in. They were just going to show up and film.
What the? So you broke the internet at like 3 years old with your family.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And was your family, I mean, you guys were like, did you have any status? Is that why people knew about this? Or like, was it just like a story that broke?
It was just like at that time, everyone was religious. Everyone had to believe in like this, especially in Australia. It's like like at that time, but now it's like a little bit more like, okay, you can be this, you can be that, you can do whatever the fuck you want. But when I was a baby, they were just like, you have to believe in something. But the whole premise and the whole reason why my parents were so against it is because when they were kids, it was so forced on them. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we don't want you guys to have that. We just want you to figure it out when you turn 18. So then when I turned 18, I was just like, I don't know. I believe there's something there. Like there's, yeah. I believe in the universe. I believe there's something higher up, but I just don't know who, what, she, he, whatever it is. It's there though. But like, so I'm kind of just like, I believe in the universe, whatever, if it's Buddha, Allah, God, whoever, Jesus, Fergie, I don't know, Aquaman, whoever it is, they're there, but whatever. I don't know. I haven't met them yet.
How do you share that like on your Snapchat or whatever platforms you're using? Because it is very judgmental. I mean, we've talked about spirituality. I definitely stepped away from the church when I was younger but it wasn't forced on me. I just made a decision when I was little. Like people are like, oh no, you were getting bad influence or whatever. And I'm like, no, I was like 8 years old and I stopped, you know, I was like, wait, this doesn't resonate. It's tough
for
a kid
to sit there for like 3 hours and sing songs and stuff.
So how do you talk about spirituality?
More in a sense, just like about your, like the universe and your being, oh my God.
Watch the microphone. Don't eat it. It's not edible.
Yeah. No, you're like your purpose. And like, whenever people just like ask me about like, okay, this has happened or I feel sad about this. And then like, well, the universe has a plan and like kind of explain it. How I see situations instead of like being like, well, it's God that has mm-hmm. this. You know how everyone's mm-hmm. like, thank God, but I'm just like, thank, I don't know, whoever's up there, whoever you think, but like just put it in your own words. I try and like have like a blanket, like whatever you want to put in those mm-hmm. in those sentences is how it should be taken.
It's does that definitely make sense? Yes, it does. Totally does. And yeah. It doesn't even have to make sense, to be honest. Like that's kind of the point, is like you believing in something bigger than yourself, I think, is so underrated, no matter what it is. But you mentioned that you did an ayahuasca journey.
Yeah, that was crazy.
And was this related to your spirituality?
No.
Or was tell us.
So what happened was pretty much what it was, I had this guy on my podcast who is this billionaire, and he was like, yes, I did it. It changed my life. Pretty much how he explained it was, it's just like a different perception on your reality. Like there's your reality and then you just take a jump over and you get to see stuff from like a different perspective. And I was like, okay, whatever. Maybe I'll do it one day. I've heard about it when I was younger, had friends that like spoke about it, but he was just like, this is the company. This is the best way to go about it. So I was like, fine. If it happens, it happens. And I wouldn't want anyone to do it. That's the thing. I don't want anyone to do it, but if it flows how it flowed with me, it kind of just like fell into place. I was like, okay, this is exactly what's meant to happen. That year, the year prior, I lost two friends in like 2 months to suicide.
So sorry.
So I was like, how do I, like, what can I do? Because my purpose for being on reality TV and being in this spot is to make people laugh. I lost, when I was at university, lost my brother's best friend, Hamish, same thing. And that was what pivoted me into reality TV. Cause I was like, damn, I just want to make people laugh. Like,
yeah.
Clearly my friends aren't happy and I can't ask everyone every single day, are you okay? But I can make everyone laugh. And I can have that like 60-minute window, maybe it's once a week, whatever else, where they can just be like, Harry, you're such a dick. Why would you say that? It's so funny. So that was the whole thought process. So when I lost those two people, I was kind of just like, oh God, like, what am I doing? Like, I'm having a great time, but no one, like my friends aren't. Like, and there's people that follow me that aren't having a good time. And like, I'm not feeling my purpose. I'm just like going out and having fun and just thinking about myself when I should be thinking about what impact I'm having on people that I care about. So yeah, it all like flowed. And then I went away to do the ayahuasca retreat and it was like 10-day retreat.
Oh wow.
Each day is like different, like
levels, right?
Yeah.
Of how classes. Much you get.
Oh, no.
Oh,
no, we did three times. So like there was the first night was on New Year's, the next night, the first of the year. And then we had a break and then we did it in the daytime. Oh. But each day it's like, there was one day where we were this was the most, take all of that away and just have this workshop. It was so special. We split the girls up and the guys, and they like taught us what it felt to be like, give masculine love and masculine energy and all this stuff. And the whole day we were just learning about what it feels to be a man and everything that comes with that. And then we didn't know that ladies were already doing that for themselves with feminine energy. And then they sit us in a circle, close their eyes at the end of it. We had no idea that the ladies were waiting, and they sneak in and they put, like we have blindfolds on, and they come up right to your ear and they tell you something, like they show you what it feels to have feminine love and in your ear and feminine energy. And it fucking broke me. Like I was so-
Really? I have goosebumps, that's cool.
Yeah, I was so like- emotional and like moved by just hearing like you're beautiful and you're loved and all this stuff. And I was like, after doing a whole day where we're like, we're men, we're protectors, we're gonna do this stuff, this is how we feel love, is we take care of people, then just to hear that soft, subtle love in your ear, like I was just I ripped my bandana off and I was just crying. I was like, surely I'm not the only one that's like crying. Mm. And I looked around, I was like, I've never had anyone speak to me like that. And it was the most like overwhelming thing. And it was like, damn, like I've never realized how powerful it, like feminine love is and hearing that. So then that was before the second night we did ayahuasca, and fuck that, like
that just broke you open. I feel like you're a wreck. You're crying.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God. At the end of the second ceremony, the lady beside me, I was like, can I kiss your feet? She's like, why? I was like, cause I just like, I had this like crazy, like eye-opening thing where I was, when I was, after I took ayahuasca the second night, cause I did four times the amount, I was like, towards the end of it, I was just, maybe do a bird's eye view on my life. Like I have all these incredible women that are around me and my team. Like my team is all women apart from one person who's my manager, Jeff. But everyone around me is women. And I'm like, damn, like I haven't told them all how incredible they are. And it takes this much feminine love and energy to create like this incredible, like unstoppable force that we're building. And I'm like, oh my God, I love like I would not be who I am without all these incredible women. So it made me just like text everyone, like, I love you so much. And everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why are you saying this? Where is this coming from?
Oh my gosh, shit, he's stuck in a bad trip. Oh yeah, God.
No, yeah, he's not coming out of this. Like, it's crazy. But okay, so, but the nitty gritty.
That's beautiful though. No, seriously, but.
Yeah, no, it was really special. But the nitty gritty with the ayahuasca, it's one of those things where it's like, you have it. It's not like we're going to sit here and be like, like freaking out. Like we could have this conversation, but it's as soon as you close your eyes and like get into yourself is when it kind of like comes on. The first night we did it, I was like, you know, you write your intentions. Like, this is what I want to achieve. And I was like, oh, I really want to see my friends that I lost. And I really want to talk to them. And I really want to know like, hey, like why, like what can I do? How do I stop this? Like, I don't know. Like I'm one person, but I've got an amazing community and we can do something special. I was like, how do I get that? And then I did the medicine and it's like, nah, fuck that. Put me in like specific memories of my brother and my dad, like as a boy. I'm like, and I was crying for like 6 hours. Like I was sitting there just like, oh my God, like just so, it wasn't like sad tears. It was just like an overwhelming amount of love and like, energy just like pouring out. Cause at that time I didn't have a good relationship with my brother and my dad. Me and my brother hadn't spoken for like 5 years. Oh, wow. And me and my dad, like I just resented him at that time for just things that he did to our family. And it was just like, I would snap and I'd be like beekeeping with my dad, like putting, like taking the hives, like the little columns and stuff out and watching our bees like run around, and then it would snap, and then we're gardening. And then it would like teach me how to chop a tree, and I'm like looking up at it as like a little boy. And I'm like, dude, why have I never thought about this stuff? Like,
were these actually memories?
Or actually memories.
And they're just like flashing in front of your eyes closed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like closed. I'm like laying there. Like, so the whole like retreat, it's in like the middle of the jungle in Costa Rica. There's like 50 people. There's three shamans here just like singing, and like they've got their beautiful music. And I don't know what the fuck they were doing, but it helped. And yeah, so I'm just like flashing real life memories, and then it would snap. And then I'm like with my brother, and I'm like, damn, like as a young boy, I'm like, God, I just love these two men. Wow. Like they made me who I am. And I'm just sitting here resenting them for shit that is like, who cares? Like what? Like one day they're not going to be here. So why am I being such a little fucking prude? So it helped me like overcome that with them. And then the second night, because I was like, damn, I didn't like get to see what I wanted to see. I just did four times the amount.
Oof, oh God.
I saw everything. Yeah, I saw everything. I saw
Buddha, Jesus, and Fergie.
No, like
literally, and Fergie.
Like literally, it was so crazy. So I remember laying there and I was like, I felt it start to come on. But it's weird because it's like, you don't really know if it's happening or not. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, got my eyes closed and I like start to see all these like crazy patterns and stuff. And I'm like, am I high or... would I think of this stuff if I wasn't high? I'm like, no, I actually would never think of this. I've never thought of these patterns in my life. I'm definitely high. So I'm like laying there. I'm like, okay, cool. And I felt like, I felt like this like golden aura around me. And I'm like, okay, like, damn, I feel so special and powerful. I feel so incredible. And then I'd hear someone crying over there. And I was like, I'm going to send you like good vibes. Cause you're not allowed to talk in these situations. Like no one's allowed to talk.
So I'm like, gun, yeah, good vibes.
I'm like, pew. And she stops crying. I'm like, damn, I'm so cool. And then I was like, sit there. I was like, move my feet. I'm like, damn, who needs it next? Maybe my best friend in Australia. Like, Literally, I was laying there. I was like, how's my mom feeling? She's going to be happy. And I was like, dying. I was literally laying there like this. Meanwhile, the guy beside me is doing kung fu. He's like,
what?
Yeah, I don't know. He's like, I'm downloading kung fu.
Imagine being sober watching this.
Oh, you wouldn't. You wouldn't want to watch this.
You're like, what is it? What in the heck is going on here?
Yeah, me just finger gunning this guy beside me going like this and then trying to kiss her feet.
You would be the finger gunner. Yeah.
I was having such a good time. And then it let me see what I needed to see. Like I saw my friends. We didn't really talk. We just hugged and laughed and smiled. And it gave me all this closure that I needed.
Yeah.
And then with my friend Tavita, it showed me one of the best memories that we have. And it's just a silly little memory. It was so quick. We were up here watching us. So I'm on this side. He's on this side. And he's just dancing and laughing. And we're just drunk and having a good time. And then we walk in this hallway and we're just hugging each other. Just fuck, I love you so much, man. You're so cool. It was just like that. And I was like, damn, we're hugging each other here, watching us down. I'm like, oh, it was so cool. You're such a good dude. I love you. I miss you. And then it just snapped over to different stuff. And then that was where the female feminine energy stuff kind of came through. But the weirdest, the most frustrating. So I never vomited, but there was one time when I did. And they have this ancient tobacco mix where they put it in this hollow pipe, mm-hmm. and they jam it in each side and they put it in your nose and blow it. And
blow it up in your nose. Yeah. While you're in your high.
It's meant to make you just not think about the past, the future, just put you right in the present. Mm-hmm. And because no one's talking, I thought everyone was getting more ayahuasca. So I'm finger gunning my way up to the thing. I'm dancing and I'm damn it, fuck it. The music's sick. We're having a good time. They're playing their little banjo and their flute. It's such a good time. I'm fucking mind you, everyone's wearing all white. I've got a nice little linen set on. And I'm there in the middle watching everyone
Oh my God.
People are vomiting and having a good time. I'm so good. Get that out, girl. You need to get those demons
get
out.
I was going
to
say
get
the demons. Demons out.
So I'm having a good time. And then we sit down and the shaman's looking at me and I'm where is it? Let's go. I'm already so deep, but we can go further. And then he puts this thing and starts packing it. I'm oh fuck, let's try that. And then he puts it in my nose and he goes straight up. And I was I was literally what the fuck? I forgot how to breathe. It was such a shock. I was and he grabs me and he's like, I was like, okay, thanks. That's how I
needed that.
And then he's like, other nostril. I'm like, no, we're good. I know exactly what that is. I don't need to do more of it. He's like, no, you have to. Bang the other nostril. And then on the walk back to my little mat, I was just instantly sweats, profusely sweating.
I've heard of this stage before.
Yeah. And so I'm standing there just holy shit, what is that? And you're not meant to breathe through your nose because that's where the tobacco sits. But I'm get it out. But so in that turns, it put it in my guts. Oh, so this tobacco on this mix is down in here.
No.
So I'm holy shit, I don't feel good at all. I grabbed the bucket and I'm sitting there, power vomiting and sweating and crying and snot running out of my nose. But then I'm I see this little light in the end of the bucket. It's because I'm high.
There was a light in the bucket.
Yeah,
oh.
Wow. No. Yeah, wow. And I'm the more I vomit, the smaller the light gets. So I'm just going to vomit this light out. So I was sitting there just like,
it was your project, a little project in the corner on your little mat.
Literally. Everyone's like, what's the kung fu man's what the fuck is Harry doing? I'm like,
I can't believe, I cannot believe that you, I'm just shocked about this whole experience in general, but. Yeah. I literally just had a brain fart.
Oh, that's okay. I've heard of friends doing this and they've flown there. One friend, I will say, did it here in LA and it wasn't with did they call it a Sherman?
Shaman.
Sorry. I said Sherman. Shaman.
Sherman Oaks.
Yeah, Sherman.
It was in Sherman Oaks.
And she didn't get taken out of her high and she was stuck in the trail. That wasn't the right process.
No.
But this one sounds like a legitimate.
You have to respect it.
You have to respect the whole. Yeah, I was going to say you have to do it the right way.
Yeah.
That's pretty freaking amazing that it pulled from your subconscious.
Oh, it's crazy.
And it's also, think about maybe where you were with what your purpose was with reality TV and all the things that you felt that past year that were just horrible and how that shaped you. Cause did that shape how you talk about mental health and how you like come forward
or even like explore your feminine side.
No, legitimately, like it pulled me away from like this, like fuck boy, like, okay, like I have to talk about sex and I have to be the dude that guys look up to because pussy. Like,
manly man. Yeah.
It pulled me away. I'm like, oh, that's actually so lame. Like I'm like a geek. Like, what am I doing, bro? Like, relax. So like help me like just, and also just really appreciate like my feminine side and like being like, okay, like it's all in there and like have a little bit more respect for it. Cause you don't have to be like this cool dude that like doesn't give a fuck about anyone. Like be a little bit sensitive, like show that side. And it helped me just like understand myself better and not take things too heart and to just be a little bit better for my community and understand like, oh shit, like this type of stuff actually means a lot to me. And when I tell people, it means a lot to them as well. So yeah, it's crazy.
How do you balance this like feminine side that you've kind of embraced a little bit more with social media?
It's more just like understanding myself better. Like, hey, it's in there with everyone. Like you have a masculine energy in there.
Exactly.
Like, that's, it's in there, like whatever percentage it is, but it's just like for me, just understanding that a little bit better and just being more in touch with myself. I think that was the biggest thing I got out of it is it made me look in instead of like looking out and like looking at all these people like, yeah, I should get this. I should do this. It made me like, okay, well, hey, what's actually going to fill my cup? Because what got me here was filling my cup and now I'm kind of stagnant. Like, how do I keep filling this cup? And that's to serve and be in service of my audience.
How do you pull that like feminine energy forward personally? And then how are you sharing that with your audience? Like to encourage that behavior?
Well, I just think for me, the best thing has been talking about my emotions and because like it's just being a person, just being a human and like being the person that I am offline and online. And I think that's been the best way to talk about like it for me with my audience. It's just like, okay, like I could be this dude that's like everything's perfect all the time, like whatever, fuck it. But I could also just be like, hey, like I'm actually, this did hurt. Like this did suck. I'm a little bit sad about that. Like whatever, but this is how I'm going to show you how I'm going to move on from it and grow from it. And I think that's been helped me get more of a community instead of just like an audience.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to kind of switch gears because I'm curious about how reality TV has kind of shaped, I guess, your life now and what you're doing with your own business. Like how has reality TV been turned into your brand and your business?
I think with reality TV, it's such a blessing because you get like normal people that actually don't know what the fuck that they're doing with their life.
That's good to admit though, and truly.
And they get lucky. Like that's the funniest thing. I see so many of these people, especially on my show and other shows where they just like have these crazy egos. I'm like, dude, like you just got picked out of a hat.
Because if people are listening, sorry to interrupt. People are listening. What show?
Oh, Too Hot to Handle.
Okay. Yeah. Like what else? Is that the main one, right?
Too Hot to Handle, Heartbreak Island.
I forgot about Heartbreak Island.
There's one on MTV. Okay. Floor is Lava.
Which one was your favorite?
I think Too Hot to Handle because it was just like, no one knew. Like we had no idea. It was just like, I flew 50 hours for it. Like I was so excited to get there. And it was just like, I don't know, it was forbidden. Like we didn't know it was for Netflix until we touched down. So I was kind of just like, it's just such a mystery. And like, I don't want to know it. Like if I do a show, I don't watch it beforehand. I don't want to know anything about it. I just want to go and figure it out because that's so much fun.
Was that the first show? The first reality show?
It was Heartbreak Island was the first one.
Oh, got it.
And then it was Too Hot to Handle. And then it was,
I know you from Too Hot to Handle. I watched that.
Well, Heartbreak Island was like, no one knows about it. And those motherfuckers sold it to Disney Plus.
Oh, what?
Yeah, after. I'm like, where's my cut? And they're like, you should come back and host. I'm like, they're like, we don't have any money for you. I'm like, come on.
Next to Cinderella on Disney Plus right now? Like, what's going on?
It's a dating app. Discovery.
Oh, I'm like, oh.
They both start with D.
I'm like, oh, yeah, no. I mean, like, easy mix-up. I'm like, what?
Next to Tangled?
I'm like, Tangled, I have not seen that on there.
Yeah, Little Mermaid, Heartbreak Island.
Right next to each other. Yeah. What do you, okay, so I guess you're not on reality TV right now. What's next? Like, what are you looking forward to doing next and using your platform for?
Yeah, so for me, it's been like transitioning across to like the scripted stuff. And just taking the industry a little bit more serious. Like for me, the reality TV kind of landscape, you kind of get like really cool for a month and it's very stressful, right? So for context, like you get everyone that's put in the same position that gets the same start, right? You're just kind of thrown into the deep end. And then when the show comes out, you see, oh, maybe this person was actually talking shit about you. This person may be getting more followers. This person may be getting better brand deals,
yeah.
X, Y, and Z. So it comes in like this very, from start to finish, just very competitive. And it's just always competitive. And it's not like a fun like environment to be in. It's not like a family environment. Whereas like I film, when I film stuff on the scripted side, everyone's excited and like mm-hmm. we're working on something together. We're family. It's like 14 hour days, but you're so ecstatic because you're meeting so many cool people. But the reality stuff, like even on Survivor, the cameraman, and no one's allowed to talk to the talent apart from the host.
I just had a friend on that show.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. So
she
strict.
She said it was just the weirdest experience ever. And yeah. She thought she was so excited to go on and she thought she was like, basically, I don't know exactly. I've only watched a few seasons. She was going up and like everybody was on her side and they all voted her off.
Crazy.
Because she was a risk. And I was like, wow. She was like, everyone just stabbed me in the back. I thought I was like, and you know, think about time, how time passes when you don't have technology and you're just, I mean, like you can attest to this and you don't have all the things. You think like you were there for a week and a half and it felt like a month and a half, you know, no, like,
crazy.
And she was like, what the hell? This is my family. And they just fucking kicked me off. Now I'm done.
So scary. Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's like, I think like every 3 days feels like a week. Like it's crazy.
You don't even know what time it is, right?
No idea. And you don't know what you're doing tomorrow. So it's just like, you don't have your phone, you don't have your friends. Like it's stressful. I'm like, I want to do acting. Like I want to go with this. And like have fun and like have my phone and take selfies. Yeah.
Man. I want to keep hearing about the brand and your business now.
Oh, yes. Okay. Sorry.
You like that. Yep. Wrap it in.
Yes. So it's obviously with like audience becomes like creates opportunity. So with like reality TV, I think doing the show Heartbreak Island beforehand, mm-hmm. I knew kind of like the landscape and like how it's going to like flow out. We couldn't have predicted that it was going to come out in COVID. That was the craziest thing for us. It was the best thing because everyone was at home and everyone was just like, who are these idiots?
Timing
was crazy. Like it was nuts. But it really helped like springboard brands and stuff off the back end of it because people are like looking and curious and just want to like see what you're doing. But then you see like a lot of these other guys that kind of just like, oh yeah, cool. I'm famous. I'm cool. And then like, okay, but you didn't set yourself up for life. Now you just waste opportunity because you're an idiot.
How do you do that? How do you set yourself up?
More in a sense, it's like, so I think the biggest thing is everyone's so afraid to have a team and have people around them and whatever else. I'm like, the more people on my team, the better it's going to be because everyone's focused with the same goal. And it's like building something that's going to like be here forever. Mm-hmm. But I remember when the show was about to launch, I'm like, guys, start a brand. Like, just have a website, like just at least collect people's data. Cause it's say if your Instagram gets deleted, that audience is gone. True. It's just all rented. That's how I said it. I was like, it's all rented. It could go at any point. Mm. Like you could say something stupid. You could do something stupid or people could just get bored of you and it's done. Like it's all rented. So what can you do to like set yourself up? Like I had a print on demand, like merch site. I don't know how to make merch. I don't know any of this stuff, but I made a website on Shopify. I figured it out. And like that first month I did like 60,000 or like print on demand sales. But it was just like words on a thing, like,
same.
Like negative, like $32,000, but from having like 3,000 in my bank account to like that. And like every day having to like put a new, try and like unblock my credit card. Cause it was just like, it was spending so much money, like trying to print these shirts.
Oh, yeah, because you buy it. Basically what happens is it purchases it first and then you get reimbursed the money that it was purchased for.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the process for people who don't understand
anytime someone buys it, it contacts the warehouse, they make it and then they ship it out. So it takes like a couple of weeks. But like, it was just like, well, I don't want to hold stock because I don't know if people are going to buy this stuff. And the designs were shit. It just said like Naughty Possum, Boyfriend Dick, negative 32K, which I don't even think that's how much money I spent on the show, but whatever.
Wait, what? What was that? You went negative 32K going on the show?
Yeah, because I was having sex because it was like out of the prize fund.
Sorry. I understand. No, I'm like,
yeah, I wouldn't broadcast if I was in debt.
I'm like, that, you bought that much clothes for 2 hours to handle?
A lot of white tees, a lot of white sneaks.
Yeah.
And a few linen outfits, apparently. Do you think you would ever go on a reality TV show again?
Yeah.
What? Why are you laughing?
Sorry. Yes, I
Tell
would.
Tell us.
No, I would. I would.
You
I was,
know something, don't
no,
you?
No. I'm not. I don't want to do anymore. Maybe like Dancing with the Stars. Maybe I can't dance, but I would love to learn. Or like maybe some like stuff where I'm like testing myself. Like, I don't know. Like not, I think the only other dating show I'd ever do is like The Bachelor. If I was The Bachelor, if they're like, hey, Harry, like we want you to be The Bachelor. But at this point right now, I'm like, Dude, I'm like, done. I'm done dating people.
You just threw that in there.
Yeah.
If I was like The Bachelor or something, but like.
That was the only time I would do it. Cause I wouldn't want to go on The Bachelorette and have to compete with like all these sausages. I want to be like, yo, like let's get married. Like I want kids. I want to.
Do you?
Wife someone? Of course. Yeah.
Cause what you're, you're 20, about to be 26.
Yeah.
Cause I'm 26. Do you feel like you're ready for that?
So ready.
Really?
Yeah. I just think like, I would love kids. I would love a wife. I would love a little house and a farm. And I would, I grew up on a farm in Australia.
Oh, you did.
So I would just love to have that with a little family and like my little team.
Little
and
chicken coop.
Everything. Yeah. We used
fresh
to have
eggs.
12 chickens called Margaret because they all look the same. And Buzz and Bella the pigs.
That's really cute though.
Yeah.
What do you feel like you're looking for? Because LA dating we've heard is tough and you are single, right?
So single.
Are you okay?
Until forever.
Oh, geez. I don't know don't say what you don't need to say. What are you looking for now? Or if you are looking, because it feels like you're a hopeless romantic at heart.
I know.
But coming out of something probably not what it was.
No, it was fun. It was like, you know, it gave me a good taste of like, oh, okay, cool. Like this is love. This is amazing. And this is what I want.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be like the guy that's like, I don't know, out hooking up with people and not caring. Like I want to be someone that cares about their partner. Like how can we, we're a team. Like how can we move forward together? So I think that for me, it's just like, I don't know if I want to, like, I don't know if I can date anyone in LA anymore. Like as soon as people come here or people around here, it's just like, they see like they'll meet a famous person and then suddenly their boyfriend doesn't exist or like something like that. And kind of get like lost in the sauce.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think I would have to go back to Australia and find someone who lives on like a dairy farm that like actually doesn't have like internet or like TV and is like, I don't know, knows how to milk cows. So.
I feel like that's you just alluded. Hot. Yeah, that's hot. Milk cows. Okay. I feel like you're alluding to the game. You just answered like three of our this or that questions.
I'm sorry.
No, it's perfect because we have questions for you like this or that of who you're looking for.
Oh, and
you kind of answered three of them. So we'll just kind of keep going. But you'll see. You have to answer within 10 seconds.
They're not bad. I promise. Okay. They're not bad.
Oh, no, they're good. Yeah. Sane or crazy?
What do you mean?
Like, it's a no. It's a dating
girl.
Game.
This or that.
If you're, you know, you're newly single, right? And you're just like,
what you're looking for?
What's your type?
Everyone loves a little bit of crazy, but if I was going to marry someone, I'd be sane.
Okay. Do you think you're looking for, you are looking for a partner that like is long term now, though?
Yeah,
you're ready. You're fine. You're ready for that.
I've dated and married. That was what I've been telling everyone.
Love it.
If I'm going to date someone, I'm only doing it because I want to marry them.
I love it. All glammed up or all natural?
All natural.
Love it.
Jealous or chill?
Chill.
Blonde or brunette?
Blonde.
Boobs or butt?
Oh, that was quick.
That was very quick. Thank God he answered that. We just had two guys on that did not say butt. We were pissed.
Book smart or street smart?
Street smart.
Or ditzy.
Or ditzy, yeah.
Street smart. Yeah. Who cares about books?
Shy or extroverted?
Maybe shy. I don't know.
American or Aussie?
Australian.
Mm-hmm.
Content creator or no socials?
No socials.
I know. That's kind of what
We
were kind of on accident talking about that because we were like,
I don't mind it because I love like making TikToks and stuff with someone that I care about and like because they're fun and whatever else. But like, I don't know, looking at like Ariana Grande and like her husband, Dylan, he's like, his socials like fully private, whatever. I'm like, damn, that's actually kind of really nice because anytime I've had a relationship that's like gone public, kind of just open yourself up to all this like negative energy and all these people that want to like pick it apart. Like,
and pressure.
Yeah. All this, like it's unnecessary. So like, I don't know if you see like Alex Cooper, like her husband was like fully under wraps until they got engaged.
I love that. I thought that was so cool. I'm not gonna lie.
She did that perfectly.
She's the GOAT though. Like truly. How we were going to ask, obviously like dealing with heartbreak openly and in the public eye, but also just as a male who's harnessing his feminine energy, like what are you doing right now or what were you doing?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So I've been in therapy for like 8 months, 9 months now.
Love it.
When there was issues before, I was like, okay, I need to talk to someone because I don't know what to do. And I'm like, my friends are sick of hearing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like this time around when I've been like so like disappointed and upset with the situation, how it's all like panned out, I've been like, okay, like, hey, like this is normal. I'm meant to feel like this. You know, you're grieving a loss, like you've just lost someone, right? You go, I just went full cold turkey, blocked on everything, number, everything, and told my friends in group chat, like, hey, if you see anything, if you hear anything, please don't say it. Like, we don't want to hear, like, unless it's like something that's horrible or something that needs to be like brought up, like don't talk about it. So we don't talk about any of like anyone that I've been with. And then for me, like, cause I was recently just in New Zealand for my sister's wedding and I was meant to share that with my ex. That moment I was like driving for, cause it was like, you had to fly from LA to Auckland, Auckland to Christchurch and then drive 3 hours in a camper van. We meant to have the weekend, like drive around New Zealand. And I was sitting there, I was like, oh God, like, damn, this is so special. Like, this is so beautiful. I wish like I'm blasting like New Zealand bands, like having like such a good time, like just driving by myself. I'm like, this would be so cool to share it with someone. And then I was just having this inner battle. I'm like, who cares? I'm sharing it with myself. Like now I know how beautiful this is, how special this is. When I have that person, it's going to be so beautiful to show them this part of my life and show them this area because I know it's perfect and I know it's amazing. And that perfect person is going to like compliment it and it's going to be so special. So
mindset shift.
Yeah.
That's a great way to look at it. And like, speaking of these emotions that you had, do you have a favorite coping strategy or even like mental health tip to kind of get through either heartbreak or a time in your life where you're feeling anxious, stressed, depressed, all that?
The biggest thing for me is just like going outside.
Yeah.
Like even today I was feeling a little bit like flat, like, oh, whatever. As soon as I got in my car, I started driving, I had sun on my skin. I was like, damn, like, I feel so much better. So for me, like whenever I'm down or whenever I'm sad, instead of like reading every single comment or like going on my phone or like listening to sad music because I want to feel sad, if I just like put my phone on Do Not Disturb and just go for a walk and then I sit outside, I'm like, okay, cool. Like actually now nothing matters. Like I'm outside, like life is here. It's like attitude of gratitude. So I sit there and I be grateful for everything that's around me. I'm like, okay, the sun is out. I'm grateful for the sun being out. So I just changed my like momentum from being sad to like a happy momentum. So I'm like, oh damn, like this is like, I can walk today. Sorry if anyone can't walk. I'm grateful.
I don't want to laugh. I'm like, oh God.
Like I'm grateful to be like, to have water. I'm grateful to eat. I'm grateful to go and have like take myself on a date. Like I'm so grateful to do all these things. So well, I start just being like grateful for just the little things. Mm-hmm. And then that momentum builds into something like special. And then I'm just like unstoppable. I'm like glowing. I'm like, no one can actually touch me now. Like no matter what I read or what's being said about me, I'm like, I'm just vibrant. So
you
I
have that golden aura on that you had
shooting myself.
Shooting your little finger
there
guns.
There is also something about being outside that makes you feel so small and like this big. Mm-hmm. Like when I went to Denver to visit my sister, it was like, I was just this teeny human, a teeny speck on like a floating rock, really. Yeah. And it just makes you, it gives you like that.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Like
fuck. Cares anymore. Uh-huh.
Who cares? Like this stuff, cool, it's going to suck for the next few months, but like, whatever. It's not going to suck forever. Who cares? Like, let's get on.
And you also have to learn how to love yourself first too. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I lost myself in relationships before, and especially during heartbreak. And I literally left the relationship and I thought it was like the end of my life. And I'm like, but why? That was a piece of my life, not my life.
It becomes your identity.
Yeah. It's like, oh, and you want to pull away from that.
Yeah. And it got you to where you are now.
No, true. Everything. Like everything happened for a reason. And you also have to believe that. Like that's a huge piece of it.
So cheesy, but it's true.
It's true. It's true. But question about communication and just you were like, okay, I'm in therapy now. I'm like basically embracing feminine energy. And I keep repeating it because it's so important for like the males listening to know that that's okay. And it's scary, but it's meant to be harnessed. Do you feel like it's improved your communication and skills and like relationship? Yeah. I mean, all the things.
I think with therapy, it's helped me understand like maybe like just people as much as myself. So like whenever there's like a situation and I'm like, maybe that person, like say we're getting into an argument and some things are getting heated up. It's helped me like understand that like, okay, the way that you cope with this situation, maybe your partner runs away and doesn't want to talk for a day.
Yep.
And how I cope is like, I want to get this out of the way so we can go back to being happy. Like let's get through it. So it's helped me like understand that like, okay, there's different ways to go about it. Just put a lid on it, hold some patience and just let them go through their emotions and just be like okay with it and fine with it. There's been a lot of things where it's helped me, like especially with friends and relationships, just kind of be more grounded and not like emotional or have like a knee-jerk reaction if I see something that's like, oh, that's not okay. It's just more in a sense, it's just like, we're a team. This is a problem. How are we going to move around that together instead of like, let's put this problem in between us and cause a rift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm learning that every day too. The knee-jerk reaction and my emotions. I just want to like, everyone knows how I'm feeling at every single second, to be honest. Like,
It's hard.
Part of learning though.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like you have to learn it. It takes time.
Yeah.
So should we play like a little bit of our game?
Okay.
This is our little game. Yeah. Basically, it's just candid questions. These are listener wrote in questions.
Okay.
These are listeners wrote. Oh wait, don't lose one.
There's one on the floor.
Is there another one? Where is it? We're just going to have you pick a few and we're going to have you answer them.
Okay.
And it'll be fun. I promise.
All of them.
All of them, maybe. Okay. If we got time, we'll see.
What is this one?
And if you don't want to answer, sorry.
Craziest place you've ever had sex.
Oh, we're starting off with a hard one. Okay.
In this studio. No.
I'm like, you said you've never been here before.
Yeah. No, surprise. You know that smell, that stain? No. In a church. And a cemetery.
Amen to that.
My gosh.
Jeez, yeah. By the way.
Yeah, same person.
All right.
What's the last text you sent? Hello. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
What did I say?
I'm scared.
I feel slightly. No. That was what I received. I just sent two voice notes, but this last one I said. It says, I feel slightly turned on right now.
Okay.
Oh.
But that was what I received. My last, because I sent voice note. The last one that I said was, thank you.
Or to Morgan when you're
how do I get in?
Yeah.
We heard it. I'm locked out.
No, she was the one that said, I'm slightly turned on right now. Okay. That's upside down.
Uh-oh.
What's the one thing people don't know about Taught to Handle? The one thing that people don't know about Taught to Handle. God. Each episode is 3 days.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So
do you wear the same outfit?
No,
they don't want it to look like
No, we're
days.
Pretty much shirtless. But like,
oh, true. Yeah.
So
yeah,
you have to imagine if we're there for a month, there's only 8 episodes. So mm-hmm. like every 3 days, they're going to put the best, the craziest shit in into that. Okay. So there's so much stuff that got cut out. And there were so many people that actually had sex that got cut out just because it was so boring.
Really? Did you ever sleep on that show? I feel I could not sleep with so many people in the same room and like just too
farting,
much going on.
Farting, snoring.
Well, I went to boarding school.
Oh.
So I was used to it. I was just like, whatever. Like,
wow.
Everyone's carrying on. Like, who cares?
Hmm. Do you think boarding school had anything to do with like masculine energy that you had?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Talk about last time you cried. when was it? Yeah, probably recently.
Like how recently? Morning. Today?
Oh, not today. I think I was the last time I cried. I think it was my sister's wedding because I was just like,
oh yeah,
so just like moved by just seeing two beings just being so in love and just being there. It was like the wedding was so quick, but just seeing them glow and just that love that like brought like 180 people from all walks of life there to just share a beautiful moment. I'm like, wow, like it wasn't even the wedding. It was just that whole idea. I'm like, God, love is so powerful, which is so corny to say, but I was like,
no, it's not. That like so made me beautiful. Emotional. I'm like, oh my God, I have weddings, like tears in my eyes.
I've cried at every wedding I've gone to. It is amazing. You're just in the feels.
Yeah. When you know you have your person though too, like my boyfriend, I'm like, I have never been excited for weddings. My parents are divorced. I've been afraid of it. And now when I think about getting married to him, I like feel like I'm going to bawl my eyes out. And it's like, but if you would ask me that like 2 years ago, I would have been like, literally, no, I'm never going to have a
year
wedding.
Ago.
I'm never having a wedding. No, I don't need it. I don't want it. Like
that was the same as me. Feel it. I was like, holy. I don't want to have that contract. I don't want to do all that stuff. Yep. And then I saw my sister's wedding. I was like, oh, fuck.
You're this like, wait, it's
this
amazing.
Is crazy. Yeah. I'm like, wow, can I catch them? Okay. Like,
Harry's in the back.
Yeah.
Literally. Last wedding I went to, I dove, literally knocked a bitch out, got the bouquet.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sister.
I literally was like, I really jumped. I hope there's a picture. I was in it.
Okay, another one. Oh, God, what is it? Which one is it?
Are you talking to someone right now? Yeah, maybe, kind of. I don't know.
Okay.
Cash. I don't know. All right. Maybe. All right. Next question. We'll let you
I think so. Like me talking is, I don't know, talk to everyone.
Oh, fair.
What's the most amount of money you've spent on a date?
Our craziest date.
Is it?
No. I was just saying, or.
I took a girl on a trip the first time we went on a date.
Where'd you go?
It was like this crazy like resort. I think it was like 20,000.
Oh shit.
Yeah. And we didn't hook up. We didn't do anything. Yeah.
Did you guys high five or what?
Pretty much. Like we just
cuddled. Good trip.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute though.
Well, it was, I was like, whatever. Like, I don't like, fine.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like, no, I just want to tease you. I'm like, no, dude, like what is the point of teasing? Like, that's so annoying. Like the point of teasing is like, okay, eventually we're going to get there. And like, we're going to like fool around. She wouldn't let me do anything to her. And I'm just kind of sitting there just like naked, like with a bone. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, sweet. I was like, can I just leave?
Oh
like,
my God. That's, I don't like that. Yeah. That'd be awkward.
Horrible. Yeah. Charging crazy.
Got what, three more.
What do you think about guys who care about a girl's body count? Who cares? Like, fuck. I mean, who cares about them? Who cares about, I don't care about a body count. More the better. At least you know what you're doing.
Okay, fair enough.
At least you know what you like. Like, I don't care. Like, fuck it. Like, whatever. At least you know what you're into. Cause then if more, less, whatever. But guys who like freak out about it, just like.
The fact that you're even asking is just
fucking
weird.
Yeah, if someone asks.
Yeah.
We always say lie.
But what about girls who care about a guy's body count? Cause I've had conversations like that.
True.
Where I've been like at the end of the day, I'm still here. I'm at this point. Like,
I think you give everyone the benefit of the doubt. Like, it's a current situation. Mm-hmm. If it's your past, again, probably same thing. At least they know what they're doing because they've seen a lot of vaginas, and vaginas are all different. You probably know how to ask. You probably know how to communicate during in sex. But yeah, some girls do care. I mean, that's the facts. So
yeah.
I don't know. It's tough because I'm like, I have guy friends where they're like in the 200, 300s and...
Wow.
When I learned that and they were still kind of like calling, I'm going to call it hoeing around a little bit, like every other night, I'm like, Jesus, you guys. But then when they found the one, they like stopped everything and it's like, well, that doesn't matter anymore. Cause
I think that's the thing. If your body count is growing crazy while you're talking to someone or seeing someone, then like that's a problem.
Gotta get a handle.
But if you're just like, hey, like I had a crazy past when I was 18, I was fucking around at frat or whatever, fine. But now I'm like a little bit, you know, I'm slowed down and I'm focusing on one person.
Yeah.
I respect that. But if you're just like throwing that meat around everywhere.
You have to have a fuckboy stage and a single stage and a hoe stage.
Exactly.
We've had a whole episode on the hoe phase. We have.
Throw that fanny around. Fuck it.
Yeah. Throw that fanny around. Oh my God, that was funny. Okay, sorry. Is that two or one? Okay, your last two.
Okay. What's something people don't know about you? I've got 5 siblings.
He's like knew that one.
Yeah, that was quick.
Like what's your go-to pickup line? DM slide in. I don't know. I've been out of the game for so long. I message I Spy, so hopefully that works. If that works, I'll let you know what it is.
What, like I Spy with my little eye?
No, I Spy. I message her some crazy shit.
Wait, what?
I think it was like, what up, Thicky Minaj?
I thought you said I
or something
Spy.
Crazy.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I'm like, you kill me.
No. I think I said, what up, Thicky Minaj?
Thicky Minaj.
But yeah, I don't know. It won't work.
That is hilarious. Well, thank you for answering those.
Exactly.
Okay. For our final little bit, we have straight candid listener moments, basically, because we're straight candid. And so listeners write in stories anonymously.
Shit.
Yeah. No. Wait, why shit? You sitting up?
No. Yeah. I'm curious.
We're going to have you read it because we think it'd be funnier out of your mouth.
We're going to read one. We're going to read one.
Okay.
And then you're going to read one. Okay. Mm. Okay, so will you do the honors?
Yes, I will. Okay, first one, someone wrote in and said, sorry, I'm trying to get
they're usually something
working.
That makes you human, something that embarrasses you, embarrassing sex moment, embarrassing relationship moment, all the things.
God.
Okay.
I was having sex with my boyfriend. He flipped me over so we could do it doggy style. All going well. Suddenly, I feel a lukewarm liquid splashing on my back. After a few seconds of splashing, I stop and I'm like, what the fuck is going on back there? I turn around to find my boyfriend sipping on a mug of tea. He was trying to drink it while we were fucking. It was going cold, he said. He never lived that one down. Can you tell he's British? And I was just like.
Sounds like something I would do.
That's why we read it for you.
I would do
we
that.
We saved
we
that one.
We literally said, I feel like Harry would do this.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's fun. He's good.
Okay. Second straight candid moment. Do you see it right
okay.
here?
Okay. Which one? Right here. That one. When I was 3, I stuck my pee. I get why you guys want me to read this one. Okay, wow. When I was 3, it's like my penis in between. Sorry, I got this. I got this.
Oh no, Morgan, I did a mouth noise on the mic.
When I was 3, I stuck my penis in between the flaps of a toilet when I was taking a shit. Why? As I was only 3, I needed help wiping. As soon as my mom comes in to help wipe me, I stand up quickly, rip my 3-year-old dick in half.
Little pee-pee.
At the base, I could see my urethra. I was rushed to the hospital with my underwear stuffed with toilet paper. I received six stitches, which I paraded around proudly once I returned home. Today, his name is aptly Scarface? What?
He named his dick Scarface.
Why would you do what?
I have tears in my eyes from reading that.
That,
no. I actually, oh my God, I'm sweating because that was, I was laughing so hard.
No.
That's real. Yeah.
No.
People write this stuff in. We know they're, it's sometimes scary because we know them.
Sometimes we think they're maybe dramatizing it a little, but that happened. So.
I accidentally stuck my dick in a grapefruit one time and burnt it.
Accidentally?
No, I was like,
wait, what?
It wasn't, you know, when that video of the girl that was like with the grapefruit going crazy? I was like, oh, I want to know what that feels like. But I'm going to put it in the microwave so it's warm.
Everybody knew you when you were at the store, you were buying a grapefruit, you put it on the counter.
Oh, no,
the,
we had a conveyor belt. We had a grapefruit tree. I was okay. I was like, Mom, don't touch these grapefruits. They've seen some shit. I put it in and then like, I'm like, okay, this fucking hurts. It was too hot. It burnt me. God. And then the citrus burnt the tip and everything. And I was sitting in my kitchen like a 14-year-old boy.
Why
weren't
you at least in your room? The kitchen?
Why not?
That was in a movie, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Timothy Chalamet's
movie. Oh, he did that as well?
Yeah, he did that. Yeah.
I'm gonna ask him. You can go ask. Hey, Timmy. Did you burn your fucking cock? I bet he's got a log on him.
A log.
What was the weirdest thing that you've used to masturbate besides a grapefruit? A grapefruit is up
teddy.
There.
That's a teddy bear.
You're, oh my God, same.
You two are.
No, you ride pillows, huh?
Yes.
I've heard about girls riding pillows.
No, I had this was like in episode 5, I think, but like I had this little stuffed dog named Carmel.
Oh, poor Carmel.
And that boy has seen some things. I humped
that. We feel bad for Carmel.
That was my first orgasm, Mr. Carmel. Still have it.
You still have it?
Still sleep with him here and there.
Do you get out and ride it from time to time, or you've graduated?
Poor Carmel is like seeing the evolution of life.
Carmel the cum dog.
Now, you read our straight candy moments. Do you have a straight candy moment that you're like, oh my God, something that's
most embarrassing moment?
You don't have to have one. Something that comes to mind.
Most embarrassing. Like, my life is just so embarrassing.
Well, something that like, or
have you shit your pants?
Yeah.
Okay. We usually share that one.
Yeah. No, I did at university.
Wait, where were you in class?
No. I was at the uni bar.
The university bar.
Yeah, I got everyone drinks. and I was walking back and I was like, oh, I'm going to let that little toot out. And then I was like, oh, that's a rock. Like, that was, whatever was in that was solid.
Oh, no.
So then I'm walking back. There's these girls.
Runny or solid? That's
no.
Good.
Yeah, it was like a full on like boulder.
What are you doing?
That's good.
What?
That's clean.
A little diaper in there.
No. Guess what? I'm like putting the drinks down. I was like, okay, I better go to the toilet. Like, I better figure out what the fuck just happened. Like, sit down. We want to talk. And so I'm like, okay, I better sit down.
Oh, no.
Why did you sit down?
I don't know. I'm pressure. And I'm like, okay, well, now it's definitely like coming out the other side. Like, fucking mashed potato.
Oh, so Jesus Christ.
I was like, okay, cool. I better go to the bathroom. And then I think the most embarrassing moment actually when I was flying back from New Zealand, I had food poisoning.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
12-hour flight in the toilet. Like, because I was, you know, they served the food and I was like, okay, maybe I'll just have a little bit of the steak. So I had some and then right away, like felt myself going to vomit and I put my hand over my mouth and like a little bit of vomit squirted out the side. And I like pushed the food to the side. Like I run to the toilet and they're trying to make their dinner and I'm like, I've got my hand like this and vomit's like going on the ground. And then I find the bathroom, or the restroom. I open the door. And I'm trying to aim for the toilet, but it's all over the floor. This is a 12-hour flight. This is at the start of the flight. Oh. All over the floor. And I'm like, okay, I should aim up a little bit. It goes on the back wall. And then it goes like down.
No.
And I'm sitting there in my socks. And I'm like so drained. I'm like, what the fuck just happened? And now I'm covered in vomit on a 12-hour flight. And I have to come back to America, go through customs the whole way. Oh my just God. Like, I,
that's
the
miserable.
Worst I've ever been.
What did you do? Did you have to tell? You have to tell somebody, right? Like the flight attendant?
Oh, they knew. Yeah, they could hear me. It wasn't like a quiet vomit as well. It was like,
you're a loud puker.
No, I'm usually good, but the pilot that was like hurting. I was like, like literally like holding the walls, like nails into the mirror.
Oh my God. Well, it reminds me of Bridesmaids.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You know that scene? Look away.
This just happened to me. And I looking at the straight cannon. I shared it on the podcast. A few episodes ago, but I thought I had an ovarian cyst I thought I had a hernia. No.
I told her it was a hernia. I literally diagnosed it. I'm not a doctor. I was like, it's hernia.
It was hernia.
100%. Sure,
went to the doctor. Guess what it was?
What?
A hard piece of poop stuck in my large intestine.
Her tummy was clogged.
Did they just have to massage it out?
I had to
put
like,
a finger up there.
No, neither.
I had a colonoscopy prep pretty much.
Wow.
So same experience.
Apparently it isn't nice.
No, I've had one.
When you get flushed out? Yeah, apparently it's good for you.
I mean, it's probably good for you, but it wasn't fun. Yeah. I was awake during it.
Did they put a whole hose up your
zhuzh? If you have a colonoscopy.
And then they go, okay, we're going to go down your throat now. And
you're asleep.
No,
with the same pipe?
No,
you weren't asleep.
Colonoscopy is you're almost asleep. It's not a full.
I've had one.
It's not a full surgery.
I was asleep.
So they don't put you fully out. I was conscious.
What?
And they put the same pipe that's been in your bum in your mouth.
No, don't. But I will say one thing. My mom had to be in the room because I was 16. So when you're under 18, so I'm literally on the table like this. Like literally out. You have to be on your side, right? And my mom's just sitting over there and I'm conscious and they're talking and I'm like, I can't even believe this happening. I can't even believe this happening. Yeah.
Sid, I was asleep.
I was awake.
Fully asleep.
I was awake. It was terrible.
That's weird.
I hope no one has to do that.
I know, right? Harry, that was so fun.
That was crazy.
Wasn't that?
It was good. How long have we gone for?
I don't even know. A while.
Huh?
An hour.
Will you shout yourself out so people, our listeners, can find you and bug you and all the things? No. Don't add your name. Social media. Shout your podcast out. Shout your social medias out.
Harry Jowsey. Not Harry Styles. Harry Jowsey. You can find me. If you want.
Find me there.
If you want. Yeah, right.
Do you have a sunglasses business?
Oh, yeah. I've got a sunglass company. I've got a candle company. Skincare company coming very soon.
Oh, my God. That's exciting. Can we try it?
Yeah, I can.
Or is it for men?
No. It's like, well, my audience is 80% ladies. So I'm like, how do I get rid of like, how do I have a product that I want to use and that they would like as well? Because my face gets kind of like, apparently I've got like rosacea or some shit. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, how do I get rid of that? So I've been working on a product that helps eliminate that and has like, some stuff that like ties back to back home in Australia.
Oh, amazing.
So we're just doing it. Hopefully there's like a big mental health aspect for it, but I was just at the factory. So it might be another few months before it comes out.
That's awesome.
That's exciting.
Amazing.
Stay tuned.
As always, you guys, Straight Candid Podcast on all social media handles. Please go rate and subscribe if you can. We appreciate it. Please. I'm at Candid Sid.
I'm at Candid Soph. And thank you, Morgan, to Hot Takes for letting us use her studio.
Thanks, Harry.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
Harry.
Thanks for being here.
Bye.
Yeah.